And third, I remember they said there were three broad, consequential, subordinate, directional tendencies in response to these directional tendencies of capital on a world scale, because, you know, we follow its movement. Because we have to eat, right? And third of these directional tendencies for anti-systemic forces to consider. Third is the official pauperism sketched in the general law of capitalist accumulation, which to estimate from recent trends in the US and Western Europe has two principal overlapping social locales, the young and the aged, both men and women of all ages. These were, it will be recalled, the first officially protected social segments of labor in country after country in the decade or so that Haymarket signifies. Welfare, too, has its contradictions. It seems likely that the national immigrant categorization deepens the burdens of current capitalist development carried by the young, the old, and women. But it's only a deepening of the destruction of dignity, well-being, and hope that their pauperization per se entails. My interjection. We're going to pause in our reading of Beyond Haymarket, because we're going to come back to it before we get to 1968 and what that's a rehearsal for. Because I think we should consider an argument from chapter 3 before returning. By Beyond Haymarket, they're referring to the need, as the ground under our feet has shifted, the need for what they call the class struggle, and I call the beat down and break our spirits. Repeated over the centuries of class and over the generations, as each child arrives free as the birds sing, they're pointing their finger at the need for us to think differently, we who long for freedom. The need for new theory and strategy about how we who believe in freedom must confront power. How do we do that successfully? Who else since them has been thinking so strategically like this? I know I said it last week, but I gotta say it again. So let's listen to how our good three answer the question, the liberation of class struggle? National liberation in segments of the capitalist world economy and the transformations it has effected in relations of rule and other social relations have altered the social structuring of the world historical accumulation process. Have altered, operative word. That much is historically evident and therefore theoretically to be taken into account. Don't you love that? I'm focused. Historically evident and theoretically, therefore, I mean, who else who says they're devising theory even bothers to ensure that it's based on reality these days? Or strategy likewise, particularly, I guess. That much is historically evident and therefore theoretically to be taken into account. But it has not eliminated the relational conditions through which the accumulation process operates. It has not eliminated the relational conditions through which the accumulation process operates. And precisely that world historical elimination, say it again, please, world historical elimination of the relational conditions through which accumulation of capital occurs is what is entailed in the idea of the class struggle as the pivotal process in the transformation of the capitalist world economy into a socialist world order. What happened to that? Anybody? We seem to have lost track of that somewhere along the way. Continuing, nor theoretically, and this is what I wanted to make sure we got to, nor theoretically in our view could national liberation movements, any more than core zone social democratic movements, given their common historical focus on securing and exercising, I'm getting too excited, I'm sorry, and that doesn't reproduce well in the audio record. Slow down. By the way, this is what I mean when I say everything we hear today over the airwaves is fix the state. This is exactly what they're saying. That is a prescription for failure for us getting our freedom. Nor theoretically, in our view, could national liberation movements, any more than core zone social democratic movements, given their common historical focus on securing and exercising power within the interstate system, have affected much more by way of change than they have done. If, however, we cease to accord strategic primacy to acquiring such state power within the interstate system, far more becomes historically possible, and thereby within the domain of historically realistic alternatives, theoretically possible. I mean, this is dense. It really does bear unpacking a bit their thought process here, because we don't hear this kind of clarity, this analytical clarity anymore. It's truly a joy. What they're saying is that it becomes historically possible. I mean, listen how they play that back. If it's theoretically possible, it's historically realistic, and therefore historically possible. If we cease to accord strategic primacy to acquiring such state power within the interstate system, far more becomes historically possible, and thereby within the domain of historically realistic alternatives, theoretically possible. It would seem a dubious theoretical tenet to assert that national liberation in its successive occurrences is in any way a necessary condition of the revolutionary transformation of the world economy. It is surely indefensible to claim it as a sufficient condition. Unquote from the chapter, The Liberation of Class Struggle from Anti-Systemic Movements. And hopefully we'll get a chance to think about that this week, that gift from our good three. And thank you for listening. Please read Harper Lee excerpt, at least online, that I put up. And that excerpt from Jomo Kenyatta from Facing Mount Kenya, which we will read next week unless some very, very necessary other discussion seems to take priority. Thank you again. Until next week, peace.